everyone. Glad you're with us. This is part two. Talking about releasing the basis of a road less traveled. And I took that from Matthew 7, verse 13, where we read last week, and we read again, enter through the narrow gate. Wide is the gate, and the road is broad that leads to destruction, and many enter there through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. So I'm kind of using that as to walk a road. So I'll spend a little time over here, working my way over there. When you open Colossians 3, it says, if you're risen with Christ, seek the things that are above, fix your mind on things above. When you're baptized into Christ, when you're immersed in water and faith, you rise to walk in newness of life, as described in Romans 6 and again in Acts 2:38. God then says, when you do that, I will give you a gift. It's not a gift you ask for. It's not a gift you may even know that you need. In fact, we might be left with the question, okay, thank you, Lord, but what is it? Why is it? We find out that from our scriptures last week that this gift is God's seal. It's an ownership. It's a down payment. It says, no money, I paid for you. You are now a child of God. You can trust it. You can hope in it. Put your faith in it. It's you. You would say, well, the Holy Spirit then, if he's given to me, where does he reside? He says in Corinthians 6 that he resides in my heart. And the word there, he said, means sanctuary or residence. So the Holy Spirit then moves into my heart. God not only gives me a gift, not to put in my pocket or in my wallet, he lives in my heart. For what reason? Well, we find out from Peter that God then is trying to bring about us to be divine partakers of his nature. He has a mission. He has a reason for being in there. And that is to help us along the road to take us from over here as babes in Christ to over there as mature in Christ. And it is a narrow road, and you will be that find it, but God says, you'll do all right because I'm with you every step of the way. Now, one thing that I lack in traveling this road is the power to do it. Because the power of this world, the nature of this world, is all against me. God is for me, but the world is against me. I live in the world. It's after my attention. It's tempting me in any way it can. It's diverting my attention away from this road that I want to follow. But the Holy Spirit is in my life to keep me focused. This is why it says in Hebrews, and it's not on the chart, so you just have to listen to me. Hebrews 12 opens the chapter, and he says, you know, therefore, because we're surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, and that's a reference to chapter 11, which is all the list of faith of the men and women who have traveled this road. You can see their footprints here that were following their trip of faith. He said, therefore, you know, since we're surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, let's let go of the things that entangle us and the sins that so hinder us and the sins that so entangle us and run the race with perseverance, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So we have a route, we have a destination, we have a purpose, and with the Holy Spirit, both with the Word of God, which is the Holy Spirit, knowledge, and the Holy Spirit in your heart, as it takes in, you have power. The power of God to complete what God is trying to do in your life. So, my life, it looks like it's not uphill, it's downhill. Ah, there's one thing in the way. Who is it? Me. Ah, me. Yeah, you. Not me, you. Right? Sure. Because it's one thing to say, well, okay, that's what God wants. It's another thing, I can do it. But the one thing that you're saying here, then, with the Holy Spirit in my life and the power of the Holy Spirit and the knowledge the Holy Spirit gives me, that I cannot say anymore, I won't do it. I can only say, I won't do it. Now, I don't know if I want to say that to God. But the Holy Spirit, then, is going to lead me as I make this journey. The first thing the Holy Spirit says, get rid of the old man. We talked about him last week. He's got to go. He doesn't say over a process. He says, get it now. Focus on that. Get rid of the old man. He prescribed for you in Colossians 3, both starting with sexual immorality, and the list goes all the way down through anger and rage and malice. And you'll find it again in Ephesians and other places. It's a well-known list. The world recognizes it, and when the world recognizes it in the life of a Christian, the world says the church is full of hypocrites. Why? Because they look like the world, they talk like the world, there's no difference in the world. So, why would I spend my time in church? Is that a valid point? Well, it's a valid point if you're going to stay over here, and this is as far as you want to go, and you're trying to meet being a Christian and being in the world and sitting on the fence and trying to figure it out and wondering why my wife is... My wife, yes, my wife. I better not talk about my wife. My life is all in muddle, and I don't have joy, I don't have peace, and it seems like it's just a struggle up and down. Well, the idea here is the Holy Spirit trying to get your attention saying, get rid of this and fix your eyes on that, and you and I will walk together in the power and the knowledge of God, and we'll get there. That's hard? Sure, it's hard. But it's a narrow road, it seems that you find it. So he says, we need to embrace the extraordinary. We need to go a step. What's the extraordinary? Well, the extraordinary is given to you here in Colossians chapter 3. And this whole sermon really is based out of Colossians 3. He simply says in verse 12, once you got rid of this other stuff, the old man, and you put on the new man, therefore, if God's chosen people, holy, declared by God, dearly loved, God loves every one of us dearly, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Is that who you are? Is that who I am? If you pass that list around at work and school and everywhere else, is your name at the top? How many people are going to check those marks? Why not? You belong to God. You're a child of God. This is the new man. This is what the Holy Spirit's about. Well, then, how going from here to there, if I'm not doing much progress here, and I've really got one foot over here, and I'm trying to get one foot over here, is it the Holy Spirit the problem? No, you're the problem. You're punishing the Holy Spirit, you're resisting the Holy Spirit, and you wonder why God can't do all the wondrous things in your life that He loves to do because you're in the way. Reach for the divine. I say time for this. So this is where I want to... This is the destination. Let's talk about the destination, the finish line first. Let me take my Bible over here. Well, I'll just use it to you over here. Here we go. Matthew 22, back there. I told him I might jump around. I give him a list of scriptures and then I don't follow them. That's okay, right? You're okay. I'm okay. You recognize this one, though. This is easy. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. this is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. That gives you a glimpse of the finish line. The finish line is, you say, well, I thought the finish line was heaven. The finish line is where you're going to be when God comes back to find you and says, where are you? And we want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We need to be on this road. We need to be making progress. This is a race to be run. It's a hill to be climbed. I want to arrive over here. I didn't start over here. I started over there, and I was just a baby Christ and stepped out of the waters, and I said, Lord, I want to be yours. I don't know all about it yet, but you're going to teach me. I don't know how I'm going to do it. You're going to empower me. I'll figure it out as I go, because you're going to give me the knowledge, and you're going to give me the body of Christ to help me and encourage me and lead me toward the finish line where we're all headed, and that is to love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind, and love everybody and neighbor. Anything short of that is short of what God wants us out of us as Christians. That's the finish line. That's why I see in the book of Ephesians. I don't know if you wrote this down or not. Oh, yeah. Ephesians 4:13. I guess it is in your notes. Me jumping around here. But I want to talk about the finish line. 4:13. We recognize this because it's part of a bigger context of the work of apostles and prophets and preachers to prepare God's work. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. Mature doesn't mean I went to church for 40 years. Mature is the development of the character to marry up and match Jesus Christ. To become mature, attaining to what? The whole measure of the fullness of Christ. There it is. You don't need a lot of commentary to know what that means. But it might take a lot of commitment to get there. And that's where the Holy Spirit wants to go. That's what the Holy Spirit is all about. He's all about starting the journey, but he's about getting to the end. And he's trying to go to Medved and try to buy a car. What do they say? Pull and drag. I think that's what some people think the Holy Spirit's for. For someone willing to be and do what God wants you to do, you think God's kind of got to push, pull, and drag you to get there. There's one thing in the way. Let's go back to Colossians. Let's reach for the divine. That's the divine. Let me get to Colossians here. Right after Philippians, by the way, if I turn my pages right. Therefore, God chose and put on these things, compassion, kindness, etc. But some roads have a pothole. Now, I'm talking about potholes. Fix the pothole. Every now and then, I know where it is, and I hit it anyway. And he's like, they weren't my front end. They weren't my alarm. Well, this isn't an easy road. God never said it was going to be an easy road. There's a pothole, and it's a major pothole, and it's a pothole the devil loves to use and destroy the church with it. And Jesus was asked and talked to the disciples about prayer. He gave them a model prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, because you don't know it, but I'd go ahead and quote the rest of it for you. But my question is, what part of that prayer did Jesus spend some extra time on that's part of that prayer? In other words, when he got all done with the prayer, then he said, let's go back and talk about the holiness of God. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. How much could be said on that? The whole Bible's about that. But he didn't say anything. Give us this day our daily bread. He knows about that. He spent 40 years in the wilderness. He knows what hunger is all about. And he knows God wants to make sure you have what you need in life and simply care of you. A lot to be said on that. He didn't spend any time on that. What will he spend time on? Matthew 6. Try to find it. You find it for me because we'll put it up here. Right? 14. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men's sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Now, some people say, I pray that prayer every day. If I fell off a 10-story building, I could pray it 5 times before I hit the ground. It wouldn't matter how many times you pray it. If there's a pothole here in your life that's not being taken care of, you say, your sins are not being forgiven no matter how much you ask. And a lot is spent on this. Jesus spends time on it because he knows it's a major pothole, and it's a pothole that affects loving your neighbor as yourself and learning how to get along. And that's why he says in Colossians, he says it this way, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Not any type of forgiveness. Oh, I know the kind of forgiveness you have. I forgive you. Don't you ever do that again. You never say that, right? No. But that's the second time you've been down this way. So Peter once said to Jesus, you know, how many times should I forgive? 7 times? You know what he's doing? He was taking the ordinary, which was 3 times. That's what was said by the teacher, 3 times. And he brought it over into the extraordinary, and he said, how about 7 times? Whoa. And Jesus said, how about 70 times 7? And he said, I don't even know what that means. I don't have that kind of faith, do I? That's why the disciples said, increase our faith. We got a problem. The church has a problem. We have a problem because we really don't know how to forgive, and yet we're the ones that need forgiving, and we're always asking for forgiveness. And God says, you know, this is the one thing that you need to come to grips with, and that is your forgiveness is based on how you forgive. And if you don't forgive like I forgive, then you haven't reached for the divine. That's where the Holy Spirit's taking you. You fell in a pothole, and you're not getting out of it. That's why in Matthew 18, Jesus told the whole story of the unmerciful servant, and we're very acquainted with it. If I can ever get there. Talked about brothers sinning against brothers. Peter introduced the 7 times in the beginning of chapter 18. Is that on their list? Is that on my list? Yeah, 18, 21. There you go. It's up there. 18, 21. That was Peter asking the question. Then down in 32, we come to this. The master called the servant and he said, who is the servant? I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. You asked for forgiveness. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? And anger is meant to turn him over to the jailer to be tortured until he could pay back all the owed, and then comes this. Ho, ho, ho! This is how your heavenly Father will treat you, each of you, unless you forgive your brother from your heart. That's going to take some work. And that's not done with human strength. And if you will not give your life and concerns and these things that trouble you to the Lord so that the Holy Spirit can help work you through it, then you are divorcing yourself from the very power that God gave you to make that happen. And that's why it won't happen. It can't happen. If you put it on the divine standard over there in the ordinary, it'll never happen, because every time we bring up this matter, this pothole, we revert back to the old man, and there comes the anger and the malice and all the things of yesterday. It all comes falling out of the closet, the things you mentioned, that name, those people that we hate, or anything else like it. The old man is resurrected, he's right back in the war. The Holy Spirit says, the way it's supposed to be. You say, well, I can forgive them, but I can't forget. God doesn't forget anything. Then how come it says he forgets? You forgot that about that? God never forgets anything. He's eternal. In fact, you can't forget what he already knew before you ever knew it, before you ever did it, before you were ever born. Think about that one for a while. So how you can get when he says it's from the east to the west. Because every day when I ask for forgiveness, the slate is one clean, it's gone, and it's not that he forgot it. He treats me as if it will never happen. Now you, by the power of God, and I, by the power of God, we can do that with the help of the Holy Spirit. We can treat one another as if it hadn't happened. If we will, but we won't. And God says, you know, when something comes up that's rubbing you the wrong way, and I don't know what that means because my old man is dead, but somehow we come up with that as rubbing me the wrong way. First, he says, forbearance comes into play, and I say, why can't you let go of it? What's the big deal? Will it be important 10,000 years from now? No. Then why is it important right now? Well, it's not just me. Me. Well, me is dead. Forbearance says, let go of it. Well, I can't let go of it. And so you need to forgive it. And when you forgive it, you let go of it. When you let go of it, you treat the person or the event or the people or whoever it is as if it never happened in the way you want God to treat you. And if you won't, he won't. Now I need to close. Mind is getting wound up. 1 John chapter 4 puts it all together. Here it is. Let's get out of the pothole. Verse 7, chapter 4, 1 John. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. We love that. That's full of sweetness and honey. And it? It's smooth. Everyone loves who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God. Because God is love. And this is how God showed his love among us. Okay? Learn from this. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God. He didn't wait for us. Yeah, I'll forgive you if you'll grovel a little bit. I'll forgive you if you'll repent a whole lot. I'll forgive you if you just really, God did it while you were in him. He loved you when you had no use for him. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to atone and sacrifice for his sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. He puts it on the same plane. no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us. That is the Holy Spirit. And His love is made what? Complete. There's the baseline. Come over a little later in the chapter. It's verse 19. We love because He first loved us. That's a given. If anyone says, I love God, well, do you? Aren't we here because we love the Lord? I hear people say, you know, I really love the Lord. Okay? Great. Yet hates his brother, he's a liar. Whoa. Anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen, and he has given us this commandment. Now, this is a question. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. I want to do the finish line. That's what I set it up for over here. It wasn't the falling of a wall right here. It was the finish over here. Fixing my eyes on Jesus. Living with Christ, headed for Christ, maturity in Christ, to be the man of God that God intends me to be. And the Holy Spirit is in my life to empower me to do that. And life is full of bumps and struggles before there is one major battle. And it's you! Because we're all different. And we're annoying. You two are nice at that. You know, you annoy me. But God says, you know, I love you and I love them. And if you want to be my child, you need to love the people I love at the same level, the same pain, and you need to forgive. And you need to be first in line to go seek that brother, that sister, those people, whatever it is, and find forgiveness and restoration. And in the Bible it's called repentance. A change of mind that says, Lord, I want to do your will. I want to love you. I want to be your person. And I know the only way I can do that is to get through this struggle and get out of this pothole and get to the finish line. And with the power and the knowledge that you have put me with, I know I can do it. I will do it. May God bless every one of us. Shall we pray? Father, these are special moments. Lord, you paid a great price for us. And I know, Lord, that we struggle in life being just human beings doing human things, and we seek forgiveness every day, but we know it's not just the things we have done wrong, it's the things we haven't even done which you expected. We're guilty of omission as well as commission. And we ask for your mercy and grace every hour, and we know that when you get it, it's gone. It'll never be brought up again. Every day's new. May we seek the brotherhood the same way. To love the people of God as you love us. And so when the world comes into this sanctuary and to these people, they will say there's really something special to hear. These people love God. Bless us, Lord, to grasp that. And Lord, if there's a change in our life that needs to be made, let's be man and woman to know that we need to make that change. Lord, you're not going to change your will. You're not changing your word. You're not changing the outcome. It's all about our choice. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, the power and strength, that we might be the people of God that you intend us to be. We'll give you the praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.